Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with corporations, entrepreneurs, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio. My special guest today is Mr. Dan Granger, author of the book, Why Is Sam So Sad? Former special education and childhood development teacher and sad sufferer, he gives inspirational and practical suggestions on how both children and adults can open up communication to discuss sad and other mental health concerns. Dan says, though most people experience sad during the winter months, about 10% have symptoms triggered by the onset of summer. That makes this a fitting topic as we enter into the warmer months. At last, I want to say thanks again for giving me this interview chance, Mr. Granger, and welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's sunny outside, so it's good. And it's in Wisconsin, you either have cold and dark or sun. And when we have summer, it's always people, even adults are skipping town because it's so beautiful. We don't have it there often. So right now, the summer is just everybody's soaking it in and everybody's happy.
You know, it's so ironic you said Wisconsin, because I was just visiting my niece about a couple of years ago, and she lives in Chicago, but Illinois. And then
gotcha.
Across the street was Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And they had like a little Walmart, but it was a lot of farmland and everything. It was just, it was beautiful and amazing at the same time because of the way that we thought we were still in Illinois, but we were just over to Wisconsin once we had crossed the bridge and everything. And so when we went to Walmart, it was amazing to see cows in the back, right behind Walmart.
Oh, wow.
And where
that's
she
cool.
Lives, yeah, and where she lives is on the lake. And she lives in this big old house, and she didn't have no curtains, no blinds or anything. So here I am looking like, oh, my God, you don't know who can see me. And she was all
right.
Oh, don't worry about it. Nobody is going to, mess with you. And I'm like, you don't never know. So it was an experience for the whole week I was there.
And so what month were you there?
It was July.
Oh, so you saw the beautiful. Okay, that's cool. As long as you had a chance to see. Yeah, the Midwest is beautiful during this time. Because it takes up all the sun, it takes up all the rain, and it's just the growth is incredible.
That is so true. That was so true. I had a good time.
That's cool.
So I have a lot of questions. You are very interesting, and I am so intrigued of getting more understanding about sad, because all of us have experienced sad in some form or fashion, going through trials and tribulations, and your input was really, really inspiring. So I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. So I hope you don't mind.
Feel free. I'm here. So go for it. I'm an open book. Oh, pardon the pun.
Yes. And we're going to discuss that book too, because That's interesting as well. And I thank you so much for writing that book. So,
All
Mr.
right,
Green,
can't wait.
tell me why SAD is a seasonal affective disorder, in your opinion.
So, Norman E. Rosenthal was a person who coined the term seasonal affective disorder, and then it got the acronym SAD, and that was in 1985. And he figured out that that's why people were depressed during this small amount of time during the year. Later on, they did find out about summer, but in 1985, they only knew about the winter SAD, and that was just kind of just learning a little bit about it.
So, in your opinion, what season is the worst for people with SAD?
So it's from fall to winter, and the two peak months are January and February. My guess is because you're already done with Christmas, so you don't have anything to look forward to during the winter. And January is usually cold, one of the coldest months anyways. At least this is from speaking of from the Midwest.
So I'm thinking about that. So my dad lived in Seattle, Washington, and it was
Oh,
the
okay.
saying that in Seattle it rains a lot, people get depressed, and it's sad. Now, every time I went to visit my dad, it was raining. However, we went to the farmers market because that was the biggest thing that was going on the weekend on the Saturday. And there was a lot of people out and about. So I was trying to really understand why was it labeled as being sad because of the rain or because, it's always gloomy in Seattle. So is that what makes people sad?
So as far as Seattle is concerned, I would say that's lack of the sun. I actually had another interviewer and they said that they were from Seattle, so I did a lot of research. And I found out that Seattle, per year, the amount of sun that they get is like one, what is it, 135 days in a year that they get an actual full sun, full day of sun. On the other hand, where I lived in Phoenix, it was like 235 days were sunny. So they talk about that, and basically, from what I understand, talking to people that are, from Portland and Washington and all over, that you just kind of get used to it, and that, it's kind of the same thing with Wisconsin is, if it's going to snow, it shouldn't change your change of plans, unless it's severe. But if it's snowy, you just find another kind of thing to do. And I'm guessing that's kind of the same thing. Like, well, if it's always raining, if you stay in and don't do anything during the rain, you're not going to do anything for a long, long time in Seattle. That would be my guess, and people are just used to it. But I've never been to Seattle, so I can't speak to that point.
So tell me about your personal experience that led you to become a special education teacher.
Sure. So I wanted to be a teacher since I was in second grade. I've always been good with helping individuals. And basically re-teaching them a certain way that I work that worked for me. Like some of the times the teachers would they would teach something and I got a way that would work for me and I'd explain that to somebody else. And basically every teacher I've had and every job I've ever had is kind of like, okay, well, you're going to be the trainer of whoever's needs it. So as far as being a student, I was always like, oh, just, Dan, this guy needs help or this girl needs help and they're a little behind or whatever, and see if you can help them out with what are your strengths, But I've always wanted to be a teacher. It's in my blood. I even said that in my book itself. So, but yeah, I love teaching. It's always been something that I have a gift for, and I'm the last person to like speak up like that for myself, but people that know me know that I have a very calm way of explaining things, and just I've seen some teachers and things like, or instructors and things like that, who have not done a good job explaining something. I saw one person get more frustrated after learning something from one of the teachers. And in general, you see things that, some teachers are good, or it could also be just a good or bad day that that teacher or that student's having.
Yeah, that's true. So tell me, so you have experienced SAD as well, right?
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about that? And I know that had to be your reason of why you decided to write the book and really get off into bringing awareness to SAD. So you don't mind sharing?
No problem. So the reason behind the book is during COVID, everybody was kind of locked down and things were how they were. And I ended up leaving. Well, I went from sunny Arizona, which I didn't have any problem with SAD at the time. And I've been born and raised in Wisconsin and I've had SAD all my life. But now in Arizona, because it's sunny all those times, I never did. So I came back to Wisconsin. And when I came back to Wisconsin, it was almost like SAD was the evil villain, like, oh, welcome home, and that seemed like it was double what I initially had before I left. That being said, during COVID, I was working at a factory and I never saw the sun. I was working 14 hours a day and 7 days a week. So the sun was not up before I got to work. And it was gone before I left work. So during those first 2 years, they were the hardest 2 years for me. And in that time, I had no purpose because I left Arizona and I left teaching and I didn't know what to do with my life. And I went in a dark, dark place. And because I didn't really care about much and I wasn't really happy with where my life is. And so this book created a purpose. So there's two things that happened within the time that I was not happy about my life or wanted to take my life. I wrote this book with all these feelings, and I also, because I knew that I wanted to leave, and I didn't care. My best friend needed a kidney, and I went on a journey to give him a kidney. And that took a year and a half. Normally, in order to give a kidney, it takes 6 months. So destiny or whatever had its play in my life. And in my opinion, I didn't need the kidney where I was going. And so that's why I had two purposes. But later on, my best friend did get a kidney. And my book did get written and things did turn out right. But at the time, I was so low. And by being so low, I was like, well, I wonder if other people are going through this too. And if they are, maybe we should talk about it. Maybe we should figure out how to deal with this, because if I didn't do something with my ideas, they just would stay there. And
Right.
at work, yeah. So anyways, that's the reason why.
Wow.
I know that's a lot to take in.
Well, yeah, because I know that since going on to your website and really researching some of the information that you have out there, I sat back and I contemplated myself on some of the things I have gone through. And it made me think, and I was like, wow, I was sad. And I had to really admit that because I have had a horrific journey. And, I was like a virgin little girl that didn't have no experiences when it comes to dealing with some real trauma, right? So it's like getting your first piece and you just happy, right? So, that had taken a toll on me. I really didn't understand that. And I didn't have my mom to go to talk to her about that. And so I had to deal with a lot of different things myself. I managed to get through it. However, I for a while, I was like, there's nothing wrong with me, nobody's
Right.
nobody is going to break me down, but mentally I was affected. And I think that the only way for me to have really gotten over some of these hurdles was to recognize that, right?
Yep.
So, in your opinion, Dan, what happens when a person is sad? What, how do you feel how a person knows when they are sad? If that makes sense. You know what I
That
mean?
does.
Because a lot of people that I like, the girls that I mentor, a lot of them come in here like they don't have problems, but really deep down in the heart, they're sad. So, what's your opinion about that?
So sad is just a form of depression. There are many different kinds of, there's severe depression, mild depression, things like that. Now, sad is only during a certain amount of time. And that's the reason why seasonal affective disorder. That's where the depression comes in because it's seasonally. And because it's seasonally, not a lot of people think about it. And because of that, it's not diagnosed enough because you're just like, oh, well, I guess I'm fine now. But what happens is it occurs year after year after year after year. And in order to diagnose it, it has to be 2 years and 2 years consecutively on during those same kind of times. And therefore, I don't think many people actually do get diagnosed with SAD itself. Depression, on the other hand, is rampant. It is, what did I see? It was like the second most, what was it? The World Health Organization predicted that in the next 2 years, this was during 2023, so coming up in 25, that depression will be the leading cause globally
I do
of
agree.
like disabilities. That's what they said. I was stunned when I heard that. But it makes sense because we're living in a crazy world, and I mean, and that, like I said, globally, not just America. So there's lots of things going on and lots of things that are beyond everybody's control, and it's kind of a crazy world. We'll just say that.
So true. That's the reason why, on my platform, I try to give out very inspirational quotes because of where we are in a flux, and not just the United States, but the world itself is sad. We have so much going on, and then you have chaos, and then you have financial responsibilities. You have not knowing how you're going to move forward. Remember back in the day, we was able to know that by 2 years from now, I'm going to be doing this, or this is what's going to happen. So, vision board is there, right? And able to, mark off some certain things. But now it's like, should I wait on my vision board, or do I know that I'm going to really accomplish this? Because if you listen to, watch YouTube, the news, on the radio, I mean, just everywhere, you hear nothing but chaos, right? And for these past 2 weeks, I read in about like the food being recalled. And I'm sitting up here, I'm already like between a pescatarian, and I eat plant-based food, but at the same time, my family, like my grandson and them, they eat like turkey, and we were just talking about that, and I'm like, perfect example, chicken. Okay, it was like almost threw up when I seen chicken with all the worms in there and everything, and then I was, I'm such an empath, and I'm up here telling my grandson, oh my God, I fried that chicken yesterday. I don't know if you ate worms. How do you feel? You know? And it's just so much being recalled.
Yeah.
So I'm like, we're in a minute, we're gonna be on some peanuts and raisins.
Very true.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So tell me, are there things to do when sad takes over in
Yeah, there
your
are.
community?
I think I kind of need to just explain a little bit more about SAD. So as far as in the winter, and I'll get back to you, I apologize.
No, go ahead.
So as far as in the winter, it's kind of like hibernating. If you can imagine, you're going to sleep in extra. You're going to binge on comfort foods,
True.
and you're going to be, where's the other one? Just trying to sleep extra and eat extra, things like that. So if you want to think about like I said, like a bear and like hibernation, that's the best way to think of that. And that's kind of what you go through during, and then you also have lack of concentration, because you just can't really get enough sleep. In fact, they, what did it say? The winter sleeps, the winter people with SAD during the winter, they sleep 2.5 extra hours compared to somebody that doesn't have seasonal affective disorder. And
Really?
then as far as, yeah. And as far as the summer is concerned, it's different. So the 10% that deal with SAD during the summer are dealing with anxiety, and instead of extra sleep and oversleeping, they're dealing with insomnia. And so there's also like aggravation and possible violence.
Hmm. So when
And then
I'm
if
losing
you
sleep,
go ahead.
I am I sad?
No, it,
Okay.
like I said, it's something that has to be diagnosed, and there's actually special ways that they do it. They, as far as the lab, they have like a, you have a blood test, and then you have a psychoval, and then they also ask you a SPAC, which is seasonal pattern assessment questionnaire. And then they also ask you a seasonal health questionnaire. Although the SPAC is the one that was more commonly used, that's actually the one that Norman E. Rosenthal back in 1984 used. And that's the one that's more concerned. That's the one that most people use. So it's not something you can kind of like get. You can inherit it though. You can inherit it from your bloodline. You can inherit from your parents or your siblings, not necessarily grandparents or aunts and uncles. It doesn't go that far, but you can inherit it.
Really?
Yeah,
So
done a lot
I
of
was
research,
thinking,
more than I've ever thought I'd do.
so I was thinking that sad, meaning, when you get a little depressed, that's part of sad, right? But sad, from what you're saying, is like it can be a mental disease, right? Someone who is really experiencing of being like irritated and not jovial, you know what I mean? Not happy.
Yes.
Yeah. And
So,
go ahead.
ahead.
No, go
No,
ahead.
go ahead. Okay, so for the winter SAD, that's 90% of the population of SAD, and there's 5% of the population that has SAD in general. And then the 10% of the population has summer SAD. And then there's the 3% of SAD are children. And those aren't necessarily diagnosed because could it be so many other different things. And it takes, like I said, it takes 2 years consecutively to find out if it is something sad. And because of kids are growing up and, soon they'll end up teenagers or whatever, it's hard to pinpoint that it would be something like SAD. But there are different people that have had SAD. I was somebody who believes I have sa had SAD, but it wasn't diagnosed. Because when I was born, it wasn't, well, I had a lot of other things too, but like I said, it came in 84, and It would I never I was never diagnosed, but I know that I've had it because I have a I have an attuned to the weather. I guess my body's attuned to the weather. It can tell if it's going to be like, I don't know, that's kind of like fortune telling. But I can notice that if the weather, I can notice if the sun is going to be, it's just a different feel. And as far as myself with sad, it's kind of like having a heavy backpack on with depression is kind of like having a heavy backpack on, and you just kind of feel weighted down. Now, when I was in Arizona, I didn't have that at all. The backpack was non-existent. So it's just been, for me, it was eye-opening to see how different it was, because I remember growing up and having it, and then coming back was just overpowering when I came back from Arizona back to Wisconsin.
So it is true about how the sun affects us and how the winter affects us, like you said, because
Yes.
Arizona is sunny. I mean, if anything, you hot as heck, and
Yep.
that's just like here where I live in Antioch. Right now it's the summer, and we've been like hitting anywhere from 95 to 107, 8, but
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the sun because we, like I said, it's so much chaos that the sun brings out a little cheer.
Yep, very true.
So true. So what do you talk, okay, who do you talk to when you are sad? Who do you talk to? Where do you go? Do you go to a psychiatrist, counselor, mom, dad? Because a lot of times we don't as kids, and even as teenagers, they don't either. They just try to deal with it, and they may go to friends, but it's really not discussed outly like it should be in order for a person to really understand their why.
Well, that's actually why I wrote the book. Why Sam So Sad?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And sometimes Sam is happy, and sometimes he's sad.
Oh, that's cute.
Thank you. But since I'm doing the interview, I'd rather be happy. So that
No,
being said,
I want you happy.
yeah, me too. So as far as who do they talk to? That's kind of the, so the reason I wrote the book is because a lot of sad is affected by, what did it say? There was three-fourths of girls had it more than boys. But I believe that it's underdiagnosed in boys because boys don't want to admit something's wrong. And again, that's just my belief. I don't have letters behind my name, so I can't really say that. But when I wrote the book, I wanted it to be a springboard so adults and kids can talk about depression. And the reason I wanted to be talk about depression is because when depression hits in the teenage stage, that's when you need to have all your, life hacks for depression in place at that time. And, I was reading about, the different the suicide rate, and that it's sad. Suicide is the fourth leading cause of death among 15 through 29-year-olds.
Really?
Yeah, that's according to the World Health Organization. So,
Right.
yeah. So, who do you talk to? You can talk to anybody. On the other hand, the thing about sad is, when you're depressed, you don't want to talk to people. And that's what I wrote about. I talked about how Sam pushes his friends away. And my good friends know that I'm going to push them away at some point in the year. They do know that. If I meet some new friend and they don't know that, that's a casualty. I just lost that friend because they don't know why. Now, if you can imagine, not only family and friends, but can you imagine the intimate relationship and having this kind of problem? All of a sudden, they don't know why you are pushing them away, and their mind's gonna go crazy. Like, Is this person cheating on me? What does he not think about? Why am I doing something wrong? Blah, blah, blah. And your mind's going to think all kinds of thoughts. So if you do, have a relationship while you're in the sad phase of the year, definitely want to talk to somebody about that. Yeah, I believe at certain times I did push away, different girlfriends here and there. And my friends always used to laugh and they're like, okay, wait, are we with her today? Are we with her today? Are we with her or not? Do we like her or do we not? What's the deal? Are you okay? But yeah, so Sam pushes away individual, Sam pushes away his friends and family. And that is the thing that I don't think people know why they're being pushed away. On the opposite side, you would have no idea. If you are somebody who's sad, you know why you're pushing somebody away. You don't want to deal with celebrations. You don't want to be happy at that time. You just want to be. And the other thing is, you don't want to bother somebody with your burden, so you push them away.
That is true. That's the reason why I feel like what I do in my organization, I give girls a chance. We have a little forum and we talk about the day and we talk about things that are personable and also things that bothers us,
Yeah.
because I think that it's important so you can know how to move forward and to understand why you feel that way. And I have met one young lady that was, as you described, just didn't feel like talking about it. She just did not want to be included. And sometimes I find that it just depends on your background of where you come from, the things that you experience in life. And for girls, it's really hard for us to really trust someone without having that coming back up later when you get mad at me. So you don't want to tell the business, right?
Right. I
And
gotcha.
yeah, and you find yourself really consoling into men. So at a young age, then they go to men to make up as that father figure if they don't have a father in their presence or in their life. And I'm trying to help them recognize that that's not always the best solution, because a lot of times, men can take advantage of someone being vulnerable. And it really depends on how young you are, right? Because they then you tend to think that you have all the answers. So it is very important that, like, just from reading and looking at your video was an eye-opener for me. And it helps me as well to understand how I can utilize that the tools that you have to offer for others in my organization so they can utilize those tools and those resources and have that one-on-one, So I think that's totally important. Dan, you said just because you suffer from sad doesn't mean you have to stay sad. And I know we're talking about that, and I know that we have kind of like iterated on certain things of the same thing, but I'm going to probably ask you again because we're going to give clarity of sad. So, in your opinion, I can think of all kind of reasons of why you shouldn't stay sad, but what is your opinion on that?
So basically, I wrote that as far as that just because you have sad and just because you suffer from something doesn't mean you have to give into it. I have a picture where I talk about the negative thoughts. And at night, he, instead of listening to his negative thoughts, he's pushing them away. If you do, And I talk about that. It could be he can't necessarily get rid of it, but he can make it worse. And if he listens to his negative thoughts, he can definitely make it worse. And I apologize, I can't find the tape right now, but I'll anyways, that so he can make it worse. So the other thing that I had in the book is when I was talking about depression, or I was talking about sad and wishing that you could be somewhere else. And I'm sure a lot of people deal with that they wish their problems could go away. And so as far as he's concerned, because he likes the sun and he knows that the sun is going to equal joy and get rid of the depression for him, he said, sometimes, I don't know if you can see that,
Yeah, I can.
sometimes I wish I could fly away to a place where it's warmer. So, and then his thoughts wouldn't, then he wouldn't have that problem. And so, during the Christmas break or whatever, you just try to think of other things. And there are other things you can do as far as meditation, affirmations, things like that. But
Right.
there's and so I myself, when I was going through this 2 year battle with life, we'll go with that, I just learned a lot about, tried to stay away from, like you said, the news just is, it just drags you down. So I pretty much don't watch the news anymore. I get it from, open the computer or on my phone here and there, but I don't really watch the news. I just listen to, positive, motivational things. And I listen to guided meditation at night. So if you listen, the last thing you want to do at night is look at something bad, because your mind's going to think about it all through the night when it's, you're kind of on autopilot, when you're not thinking, but your mind is still thinking. And so you'll wake up unhappy because the last thing you thought of was something unhappy. And so if you think about something positive instead, then you go to bed with something positive, you'll wake up more positive. The other thing is, what you need to remember is that your past is just your past. Wayne Dyer, I listen to him every now and then. He said that your past is a wake. If you can imagine a boat and the boat's sailing, or a speed boat, whatever kind of boat you have, in the back is the wake. And there, that has nothing to do upon where you're traveling and how it's going or anything like that. It's just the leftover from pushing through the water. And so by pushing through the water, this wake is created. And you can look back and it has nothing to do with it at all. So that right there says that your past is your past, and you need to remember. And at times when, I'm down or I'm frustrated, I'm like, remember, your past is your wake. It has nothing to do with your present. It has nothing to do with what's going on. There are past things, and if you can bring them up and your mind loves doing that, then you just have to fight them off. There are two ways to do that. You either accept them coming in and just kind of let them go while you're in like a meditation state, kind of like clouds, like, okay, this is a thought that I have. It's a negative thought, but I'm going to let it go. I have other things I'm thinking about right now. I'm trying to stay in my in the present. The other thing is, there I found, I don't know if that's on my website. I'm planning to put it on my website, but there are two phrases that I found when I was going through this, and two phrases that eliminate or stop negative thoughts immediately. Now, keep in mind, they don't stop them for good. When I used it at first, I probably did it about like 20 or 30 times, because I wasn't used to it, and I still had negative thoughts, and it was during SAD. It was probably during January when I first learned it, and I was saying it over and over again. So the two thoughts are the two sayings, the two phrases are, what are your thoughts and how are they behaving? And this is from like ancient Sanskrit, and I found this on YouTube, and I used it once. And I was like, oh wow, it brought me back to reality after saying those two. And then, of course, 2 seconds later, my negative thoughts were back again, and then I'd say it again. But
Right.
during that one time, or, consecutively, and then, of course, now when you have a negative thought here and there, you can say the same thing. Like, again, your past is your past. It doesn't have anything to do with your present. And then, what are their thoughts? Your thoughts aren't your thoughts. And then in the book, Sam said, he's like, I need to remember, and he was talking about trying to sleep, and he's like, I need to remember that my thoughts are, these negative thoughts are not mine. They're sad. They're sads. And they're not my negative thoughts. They're the sad negative thoughts. So if you can separate yourself from depression, in this case, sad, if you can separate yourself and see it as two different things, as opposed to together what you are, and that you are dealing with that depression is overwhelming you, whereas you're like, depression's here, I'm here, and you can deal with it that way. But yeah, there's a lot of different things that you can do. Basically, you want to get outside and move around. If you move around, you create a lot of you get the blood flowing. Now, there's another thing you can do, which is called the helper's high, which is when you help somebody or you give or anything that basically philanthropy, you have a helper's high, just like a runner's high. You get these endorphins and you feel good after what you just did. Believe it or not, I learned that from Tim Tebow.
Right?
Yep.
And explain how parents and teachers can recognize signs of sad, in your opinion, in children. Because a lot of times
So,
they don't recognize that, and your child end up having a, bad behavioral habits, and it can be from the simplest things of being sad.
as far as sad's concerned, yes, you're going to be pushing people away. When you're a child, it's more like irritable, things like that. As far as like a real young child, it's hard to put them to sleep. They don't want to go to sleep early. As far as teenagers, you'll notice that things of academics and extracurricular, they'll just stop doing that stuff. And that's the thing. You go into this mopey, well, I actually talked about that too, but this mopey, well, woe is me. And you don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want them to deal with your problems. So you just kind of shut down and shut down everything as possibly as you can. Shut down from your family, shut down from your friends, shut down from school. It's really hard to get up during that time. And you sleep a lot. And like I kind of already said that, but even you can imagine that in schools. So what you really want to look for teachers is you want to look for, is your student acting how they would normally act? Do you know, do they normally push away their friends during this time? And depression, it just basically, it's different with everybody. And then as far as like the different symptoms that people have, there's tons of different symptoms that people could have, but it just kind of different for everybody. But yeah, definitely pushing people away, definitely sleeping in, definitely just those are for sure. And then, thoughts of suicide, if you think too much into your negative thoughts and you don't fight your negative thoughts. Like I said in the book, is that, pushing away my friends is, or pushing, Sam pushing away his friends, that's one thing, or lack of eating or extra eating. Some people, eat more, some people eat less. That again was, some people have anxiety, some people all kinds of different things with depression. And you just basically, teachers know their kids. They know, just like a parent knows their kid. How is the kid acting? Are they acting differently? In the summer, it could be a little anxiety, things like that. Now, my belief is that as an individual taught special ed and grew up special ed, during the, and I'll show you a thing in a minute. So during the winter break, I didn't like Christmas. I didn't look forward to the winter break. I never did. I don't enjoy that festivities and celebrations and things like that. I used to push it away. So my dad, or so, you know, at that time it'd be called Mopey Marvin. And that's actually what I talked about in my book.
Mopey Marvin, okay.
So there,
Oh.
his dad talked about how he'd be Mopey Marvin, that he's not happy during Christmas.
Right.
Now, that would, my belief is that special ed kids are dealing with so much structure in school. And all of a sudden, that structure in school, like they know everything that's going to happen every day, every hour, every minute. They know exactly. And I mean, the same thing for regular ed kids too, but even more so for special ed kids. And all of a sudden during the summer, they don't have that schedule anymore. And so there's a little anxiety, you know, and a little loss of control, because at that point they don't have what they used to have. And that's really, it's something you get used to, obviously, but during Christmas break and then summer especially, it's just kind of those first couple weeks, or you know, it, sleeping in was great, but then what do you do now, kind of thing, you know, because school does provide activity and does provide things that you're going to do or have to do. And some places, you know, in some houses, you just, okay, well, I guess I'm just going to watch TV for 12 hours and then go to bed. You know, I'm not going to take the initiative and go and do something. And therefore, sometimes, you know, extra breaks are kind of hard for kids.
So, in your opinion, how can we encourage children to feel and express gratitude?
So when I wrote the book, I was, you know, obviously during my 2 years of finding things out, I found one phrase from Tony Robbins, and he said, "You can't be grateful and fearful or grateful and angry at the same time."
Right.
Simply can't do it. Your mind can't do it. So if you're grateful, then you can't be that way. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's perfect for, you know, depression, because sometimes you're angry, sometimes you're fearful, you know, or sometimes, you know, and sad in general. So I made a list of gratitude and what am I thankful for? And that can be something as small as, you know, I was late for work and we made all green lights. And then as far as for Sam has some lists too in the book or on my website as well. So you know, the same thing. He made all green lights, or, you know, it was his favorite day for food, which in Wisconsin is Friday is usually fish fry. And so, oh, well, Friday, we made it to Wisconsin, or we made it to Friday, so we're gonna have fish fry, or, you know, it's gonna be pizza night. I remember many times knowing it's pizza night, and I would, you know, my friend would have asked me, hey, do you want to, you know, eat over? I'm like, no, it's pizza night. I gotta go. I gotta be there right now. You know, run as fast as you can or bike as fast as you can, and you know, things that you are grateful for. Shakespeare once said, I cried when I had no shoes, and then I saw a man with no feet, and I wept. And it's just kind of the same thing. Like, there are people that are in worse shape than you are, and you always have to be grateful for that. And I a lot of times that, you know, when I'm feeling down or frustrated, or actually, yeah, down, or my negative thoughts, you know, kind of have a hold on me, I'll scold myself and be like, no, you are doing well. You know, you created this book, you have a job, you have a house, you have four, you know, four walls to live in. You are fine. There are people that don't have that. There are people that are dealing with war right now. There are people that are dealing with, you know, not even able to eat. And
Right.
so I've scolded myself because, you know, this depression, as
Right.
bad as it is a third world problem. You know, somebody else is going to be lacking eating and they're not going to worry about depression. Or, you know, they, because of malnourishment, their body is like abnormal.
So tell me, I was reading about this. So Soul Flowers is a collection using a variety of formats. So can you just tell me a little bit about that?
I've never heard that word in my life. What?
Soul Flowers is a collection using a variety of formats. No?
No, I can't speak to I've never heard that word before.
Okay.
I don't know what Soulflowers is.
Yeah, me neither. Thought I'd seen that, so.
Sorry. I'll tell you all the things I know, but that's not one of them.
What other books have you written?
So I've not written, well, so when I wrote Sam, or Why Is Sam So Sad, I was called to do this. This was something I actually was I'm in the process of writing another book. The other book that I'm writing is about people that are the ground crew of the airport, because I worked at an airport and I was a ground crew. And so I was writing that book. But during this sad time, I put that on hold, and I'm like, I have to write this book. I have to get this out of my body. I have to get this out of my mind. I have to get this. And it turned out to be a really good thing. Not that the other book, The Rampers, is, or Ground Crew, is not ready to go. It is going to be ready to go. I just have to finish with this and get some more money, and that'll be my next project. Although I do want to do something possibly for special ed, but we'll see.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, I'm going to include your book into my program as a showing because SAD is a subject that brings awareness. And especially what I do, I mentor girls 14 to 24 years old. I'm girl empowerment and I teach customer service skills because everything we do is customer service skills. And a lot
Very
of
true.
times, girls, we are emotional creatures, don't realize that we have behavioral problems. And it's all about how you interact and you communicate. So, and I think SAD, the book that you have, would be great. Because it brings awareness to the table in a discussion of, and it could be, because I know at times when it was raining and we're looking out the window and we couldn't go play volleyball or something like that, people just get their book and they just sit down and turn around and you look around and everybody just looks sad. So it's very important that it's understood about the book. Why is Sam sad? And I like that you have the t-shirt and the reverso hat because it'd be good. Like I could just see it now. I'll have that hat on when we're having such a good time and then when things are not right, I'll just reverse that hat and they'll know I'm sad because, things that are going on. So that's just me stating that, a good way of bringing levity to the forum. So tell us, before we go, how can someone attain your book? How can they reach you on social media? Tell us about all the good ways to be able to attain your services or read the book and other good products that you have.
Can we go back for 1 second? So, as far as SAD's concerned, well, winter SAD is concerned, there are different remedies that they have, and there's light therapy, which basically mimics, and I didn't have a chance to explain that, but
Okay.
in the book they talk about it, or actually Sam talks about it. Basically, people look at a light and it mimics the sun. So there's another one that they have the sun, and it basically mimics a sunrise. And light therapy. There's the thing. See it?
Okay.
All right,
Yes.
see it?
Yes.
So You basically look at a sun, you basically look at a light for 10 to, what was it, 20 to 30 minutes a day. And that basically helps your body take in the same kind of light that the sun would have. So as far as the sun's concerned, or as far as light's concerned, you want to have, there's 10 lux, which I guess would be, they said it was like a cloudy day that has the sun, and then like 50 lux, between like 10,000 lux and 50,000, or yeah, 50,000 lux would be like a completely sunny day. So you want to have it somewhere between there, at least to the 10,000. So then there's the sunrise, and I have a sunrise clock, which I showed in my, there's a video of how the sun, like how this, how the light itself kind of gets brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And that's exactly mimics the sunrise. So it could be pitch dark outside and you have this clock going on and you're ready to go now because you do see the sun, whether it's, so there's that, and that is very helpful. And what you were talking about, this is what reminded me to say this, is you were talking about, you can do this, but you can't do that. So there is cognitive behavioral therapy, which is the same kind of things. It's the yeah, but. Well, we can't go outside today. Yeah, but you can make cookies, Well, it's too cold. You're right, but you can bundle up. And just always try to think of something opposite to what that is. And that is beneficial to individuals who have SAD. And then of course there's antidepressants, with which would be, these are different things that you would talk about for, you talk to your doctor about them, or therapist or whatever, about them, to see what would work best for you. In the book I do talk about vitamin D, and I talk about St. John's wort, but I found out recently that they are not the best kind of cures. Actually, the St. John's wort is not necessarily a good idea. I didn't know that when I wrote the book. I was taking something from my experience.
What is not, you say, stated? What
St.
you're,
John's wort.
okay, St. John's wort. Okay.
So there's two vitamins that I talk about in the book, St. John's wort and vitamin D. And recently I talked to the person who actually coined the term, who I have mentioned before, Norman E. Rosenthal, and he said that we are not lacking in vitamin D. There's no evidence that individuals with SAD are lacking in vitamin D. And as far as St. John's wort is concerned, it may have worked for me, which I said, like, okay, well, it works for me and I use it. But there are studies that have been stopped because for some reason that they talked about, they said there was something trouble with the eyes, and they had pain in their eyes. So I don't know. I just am reporting from what I heard from him. But I wouldn't, and he said, do not suggest St. John's wort. And I didn't know this when I wrote the book. I mean, and I just recently heard this within the last couple of days. So this is, breaking news. And that's why I'm telling you only the two things that I'm talking about, the cognitive behavioral therapy and the light therapy, which out of the four are the ones that are the most successful. And even if you can do two of them at the same time, it's even better.
I do
But
agree. I prefer to use
you don't.
therapy versus taking pills or anything like that because they become addictive. However, therapy becomes something that you get used to doing because it makes you feel better. And it keeps that awareness so you don't feel like that without taking this pill, I'm not able to get better. You know what I mean? And that becomes a long term. So, yeah, I like what you said about the light and everything. That's good therapy.
As far as where you can get my book, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, you can look at my website at Dan, Dan slash, or I'm not slash, I'm sorry, dash, the minus sign, Granger.com. Yeah, I'd love to hear from you or anything like that. I'm interested. to hear more about experiences with SAD and things like that. I hope that, whatever I was able to provide, whether it was, stories of my past or, whatever that you were able to, individuals have some way to bond with me and figure something out that something helped. I mean, I've become more of a wealth of knowledge by each interview, and everybody asks for different questions, and I was like, oh, okay, well, I got to research that now. Oh, I got to research that now. There is a school kit that I found, which is 24 pages long, that talks about SAD. So teachers and individuals can look at that. Basically, kind of the same thing that you would do for depression. You could have like therapy animals, you can have lavender, you could do, try to change the scenery in the room. The only difference is most of the times that they would talk about, closing the windows or whatever, whereas this time it's like, no, open them as big as you can, get that sun in. But yeah, it talks about, talking to individuals who do have SAD and trying to communicate with them and trying to get them to open up. And that, again, this is the reason why I wrote this, and this is the reason why I talk about the fact that I did want to commit suicide, because I want this to be an open discussion. And it's not an open discussion. Depression is never really an open discussion. The only time it is when you find somebody who's gone through it. And then those people will open up completely. But when you're opening up to somebody who doesn't know, in fact, I've had family members that I even have parts in the book where it's like, why can't you just get over it? I want you to, I okay, fine, you're sad, big deal. Like, just get over it. And you can't. It's just something that's ingrained in you. And
Yeah,
so it's
sometimes
more
it's just not.
frustrating that way.
Yeah, it's just not that simple. And
Right.
people do say that. You don't know the trauma that or the reasoning why someone is sad. And I get it, but that's a harsh statement to me because, there's other ways of consoling someone who is sad versus stating about, oh, you should just get over it because you're not me, and you don't know how I really feel in the inside. So that's important. Dan, it has been a pleasure having you on my show. And I know you spoke a lot, and I thank you so much. But do you have any last minute comments you would like to say?
I've been doing this all the time, and I just want to say how I would write the book if somebody needed a signature and I signed it. I would always say, Sam and I wish you much happiness as you create your list of gratitude. All the best, Dan Granger.
Yes. I am an award-winning author of the book, A Journey of a Sapphire. And I hope to inspire others who are or who have endured challenges and obstacles to never give up on your dreams, but most importantly, how to recognize behavioral problems. And you can purchase my book by visiting journeyofasapphire.com for a hard copy, or you can go to amazon.com/journeyofasapphire by Pamela Henderson. Well, readers, I have reached my destination, and I leave you with this quote of the day. Life's under no obligation to give us what we expect. We take what we get and are thankful it's no worse than it is. Until next time, do have a fabulous day. From a true fox sapphire herself, cheers.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.